And now for something very, very wrong. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Good evening and welcome to The Phil Hendry Show. This segment, How to Lose Weight. Step one, do as I did this weekend. Sit down to watch Desperate Housewives with an entire tub of chocolate pudding.
Way to go, you blew it.
All right, then kill the music. Kill it. What did I do?
You blew the timing. Can't even talk.
I blew the timing because I can't even talk. All right. Let's start it all over again. Let's pretend like it never happened. Good evening and welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. It's time for How to Lose Weight. Step one, do as I did. Sit and watch Desperate Housewives eating an entire tub of chocolate pudding. I hit the wrong CD player. All right, let's try it again.
Why?
I'm going to try it again to see if I can do it, okay? Starting a week, I want to do this bit right. Good evening and welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. It's time for How to Lose Weight. Do as I did. Sit down, eat an entire tub of chocolate pudding, and watch Desperate Housewives. See, I could do it.
Yeah, it's really funny now.
I told him not to hit my music because I wanted to be able to hear this. What is this?
It's something from a CD.
What are we, Beach Blanket Bingo now? What, are we all twisting on the sand here? Oh, gee whiz. Ouch, it hurts.
Let's just pretend. Why don't we just tell everybody what I did this weekend and not try to gussy it up with I sat down and I ate an entire tub of chocolate pudding.
I think it's a mental block because you said, you don't even want to tell anybody.
I did. I sat down. I did that. See, my wife and the kids, they sat down to watch Desperate Housewives. Pardon me if I don't share the, but it's not that I got anything against the show. I'm just not into TV. I'm not into soap operas. But I did sit down. It's funny. It's a good show. I don't know, but I did something really dull. My wife and the kids are watching Desperate Housewives. I walked outside and read a biography of Thomas Jefferson, see? As a matter of fact, I went over for a... See, I did it again. I went over. There was a brunch some of the actors had for Fillmore Middle, celebrating the fact that we got the show picked up, and we'll shoot some episodes of it, and... It was very, very, it was nice. It was fun, but it was a brunch. You know, nobody was drinking any champagne or anything. So I had a really very sedate weekend, and I made Marie and I barbecued some ahi tuna. And I know that sounds a little gay to you, bud, but it was good. Poached it in tin foil, scallions, garlic, and chili oil. What do you think of that?
What's that song? You make me real.
Well, what is that, man? Some
gay disco.
I get it. And then and then we just that kind of thing. So last night I realized that my son, Chris, we'd bought a bunch of stuff for him because he had his wisdom teeth out. And the guy was in serious pain. I mean, the other two of the bigger guys, they had theirs out. But Chris, for some reason, his were tough. So he was in some bad pain. And we went out and we got him the soft food you can eat, you know. You know, just anything that he could eat. And one of the things was a tub of chocolate pudding. Now, and then we got those little, you know, those little six packs of Jell-O pudding you can get? So we got those, and he kind of rifled through those. Well, today, or yesterday, I should say, is like day seven, so he was fine. And my eyes lit up almost as if they were two caution lights. And I said to my wife, is that chocolate pudding still in the icebox? And she goes, I think it is. So naturally, you should have seen me rummaging around like some rabid raccoon, just, you know, looking in the back. There it is, found it. And while the three of them, Maria and the two kids, because two of them are at college now, and that was a whole trauma. Alex went up to UC Davis this weekend, and it was tough on his mom. It was really very, very tough on her. And she was very, very sad for about 2 minutes, and then... No, she was, it was very traumatic. You know, we're going to miss old Alex, but he's cool. So anyway, came back, they flipped on Desperate Housewives, and there I was with this, in the size of the tub. Have you ever seen a tub of like Miracle Whip, or not Miracle Whip, butter, a tub of butter, which I don't know how many ounces that is, but it was about that big. I sat down, I ate that whole thing. I ate the whole thing.
Nice timing with the music.
All right, look, we got Margaret Gray. She's in Washington, D.C. We'll be talking with us about the anti-war protest there on Saturday. We also have our flashback coming up by request. Tonight, Ted Bell will be with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills, the owner of one of the great steakhouses in America, to talk about charitable giving. If you're corporation or an individual who gives to charity, how can you be sure the charity you're giving to is one that is above board? We've seen an awful lot of malfeasance, a lot of misappropriation of money, so we'll talk with Ted about that coming up later on tonight here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, we have Margaret Gray standing by in Washington, D.C. to tell us about the anti-war protests this weekend. We're going to start this segment, though, with our flashback request, and this is from a listener of ours named Jimmy Disrosrios. I don't know how do you pronounce that, bud. What am I asking you for?
Jimmy Brown.
Yeah, Jimmy Brown. D-E-S-R-O-S-I-E-R-S. Brown. Anyway, Jimmy says, hi, Phil, I'd like to request the bit where you were doing Spanish-speaking soccer announcers. My little brother and I laughed so hard we had to pull the car over, but even that didn't save us. It burst into flames, went down the side of a hill. I'm just joking. It's my little brother and I laughed so hard we had to pull the car over. It was the first time we'd heard your show, and now we listen to it regularly because of that bit. Thank you, sir. Jimmy Desrosrios. Don't you look at me, bud.
What a tard.
Here it is, Jimmy. It's the soccer bit.
George Bush. Maria Shriver, Chuckle the Clown.
Maria Shriver, Chuckle the Clown, Soupy Sales.
No. Soupy Sales, it is easy to Los Angeles, but Ted Kennedy and Scott Peterson. La Rouvre of Rivigana Tina.
Daisy Duke.
No, 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 Daisy Duke. John Schneider. Narinan Muroy. Easy Naman and Tondre Lake Andre Rode. Mama. Daffy Duck, Macandri, and a Porky Pig. Mandori Gudri, is the way.
Tony Montana, David Hasselhoff.
Laro de David Hasselhoff, to the Macandre, Dan Rather. Arondoru, the Rim, you get a CCC, Michael Landon, Roland,
Gene Stapleton.
Not even Gene Stapleton, Moragra, like Tony Danza. Richard Simmons, Danza, Dan Rather, Michael Landon, Dan Rather, Michael Landon, Dan Rather, B. Arthur! B. Arthur, Boriga, Adid, the Vold, the Cold, the Heat, the Lalu! Mandarin, the Zuni, Mogan, and Nell Carter!
Mark Spitz, Murivale!
Rudy Valley, Glenn Miller, Rudy Valley, Glenn Miller, Rudy Valley, Glenn Miller, Woody Herman.
The Osmonds, Maneglatara. Intercontos of a Gita, level two today.
La Lunon, the Rigigarevin, Rahuri Viganta, Ora Cinco, Barra Dos.
Malolo. Gary Coleman.
Hello, I'm Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman.
I'm just here because the cat said come on in and rap, and so I don't know what's going on. So I'm
going
to split now.
Edgar Bergen. Joyce DeWitt, Barry Williams, Joyce DeWitt, all the Barry Williams, Joyce DeWitt, no, 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 Gary Coleman. Now
Phil Hendry Show. You know, the bit for me hit its peak when Michael Landon and Dan Rather were passing it back and forth going downfield, and then B. Arthur headed it in. That was a great game. So that's our flashback request. You're welcome, Jimmy, and your kid brother there. And wherever the hell it is you guys are listening to the show, 1-800-449-8686 is the number. Just saw Gina Davis on Monday Night Football. She's in a coat and she's in a shirt and tie. In other words, she's dressed like both the guys, Madden and what's-his-face. And her show's coming up, Commander-in-Chief, and it must be nice to get a show on ABC when you can plug it on Monday Night Football, although nobody watches that either. So, kidding, of course. Margaret Gray joins us from, you're actually on your way back to Los Angeles right now, Margaret?
We are, Phil, and right now I'm just, Frank wanted to retire here to the club car, so that's where we are.
How come you're taking the train?
All the flights were booked up back to L.A. For some reason. People are taking late vacations. The only ticket we could get was this train. And so we're on the Super Chief.
Well, that's great. I mean, I like traveling by train.
Frank hates it. He just despises it. Hold on for a minute. What is that, Frank?
They're coming to Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, it's Columbus, Ohio. We're coming in the show.
Here, let me talk to
him. So here's Frank.
Okay.
Hello, young man.
Frank, how are you?
Phil, I'm vertical. I'm in the club car right now. I told this retard they've got if he'd get me a couple of fingers of Cuddy into a tumbler with maybe some ice, well, hell, he'd be my favorite girl. I might even take him to the dance.
You know? Yeah, you didn't think that was funny?
I don't know. Anyway, did you see the anti-war protest we were at? And I got to tell you, it was something else.
You know, I gotta tell you something.
What?
You blew it.
What do you mean I blew it?
You referred to the bartender as a he.
It was a he.
No, it was a woman, huh?
Yes. What a jerk. Anyway.
What?
Yeah, I am. Now what?
Wait a minute. Look, Frank, I got to get going here.
Oh, yeah, you're real busy, huh? You got your big show. Look, I just want to mention Jessica Lange was at the anti-war protest in D.C., and he, once again, put his big fat feet in his mouth, but what an ass.
Okay, look, I gotta go, okay?
Oh, you don't want to hear about his ass, huh?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Phil, anyway, thank you, Frank.
The gender confusion thing, I thought I tripped him up because he mentioned the bartender was a he.
It was a woman, yes.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Phil, the anti-war protest, I think, went swimmingly well. We had probably about 300,000 people in Washington.
All right, now, I'm not disputing that, but are you sure that's the figure?
Cincinnati. The conductor came by and said that we're pulling into Cincinnati.
What about Columbus?
We already stopped there. Very, very quick. In fact, the train didn't really slow down much. They just threw a woman and her kid off.
Okay.
So anyway, Phil, no, it was 300,000.
Well, I'm reading 100,000.
Well, that's the fascist press for you, Phil. It was 300,000.
All right. 300,000.
So as you can see, it's gaining steam, and every day, Phil, is a victory for those of us who believe... Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Who believe... It...
That's really great.
Here, you take the phone, Frank. I have to use the toilet.
I forget.
Let me have the phone back, Frank.
He must be drunk because he referred to you as a she.
No, he was talking about the conductor.
What'd she do?
Who?
The conductor.
Is the conductor a man?
Yeah.
All right, give the phone back to her.
All right. Anyway, Phil,
I understand you have some tape that Bud has that you want played.
Yes, Phil, the highlight of the anti-war protest for me was when I got up in front of everyone and made a few remarks, and Bud Dickman back there at the studio, I believe, has the remarks.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Margaret Gray, and I am a mother.
Come on, hurry it up, will you?
Shut up, Frank.
My rear end itches.
I'm a mother, and I'm an American patriot. I'd like some of you people in the front to stop moving, if you wouldn't mind.
What?
Would you stop moving? I'm speaking.
Who?
Me.
All right.
I'm an American mother and a patriot, and I feel so close to Cindy Sheehan right now.
Yay! Don't seem like you to be applauding for yourself, Margaret.
Frank, why don't you get yourself another blast, huh? Get your toot on.
All right.
I want to sing a song that I know is very important to all of you. A great artist by the name of Billy Joe wrote this song, and it speaks to me, and I know it will to you. Here it is, 2, 3, and 1, 2. Don't want to be an American idiot. 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. Don't want a nation under the new mania. 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. And you can hear the sound without pain in the egg. Well, that was it. Oh, excuse me. That was it.
Uh-huh. How come you still had the echo on you?
Maybe I'm dead. Jesus, maybe I'm dead.
Well, anyway, Margaret, it sounds like you were received not that well singing American Idiot there by Green Day.
Well, you know what? The song blows anyway. So what do you think of that, huh? Maybe it was the song.
Maybe it was the song. Maybe it was the song, even though the song itself sold, what is that?
Tucumcari.
Great. Jesus, you've gone from Ohio to California in, like, what, 2 minutes?
It's a bullet train. Phil, I think that Green Day, how do I say this? Well, I can't say it. I'll let Frank say it.
She's great, isn't she?
Margaret?
No, Billy Joe.
All right, look, thanks very much, both of you, for confusing me. And if you say there were 300,000 people there, Margaret, I believe you.
Yeah, okay, smartass. Really nice.
No, I do. I believe you.
How do you feel about the anti-war protest now?
I'm sure that they're building steam. I'm sure they're paying. I'm sure we'll pull out of Iraq very soon and leave them to a civil war and more mayhem.
Won't that be a wonderful day, Phil?
Yes. Thank you very much, both of you.
Hold on, Phil.
Frank, what are you doing? Oh, God, Frank, you're not going to throw me off the train. I've got a photo shoot. Ah, yeah!
Just pitched him off, Phil.
Good job. Margaret, right?
No. The conductor.
Okay. 1-800-4-5. Did Frank just throw Margaret off the train? What's that stop? Tucumcari. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills coming up. We'll talk to him about the, you know, charitable giving and just exactly who's getting hosed these days when they give money to charities. You know, if you're being asked for money for, like, oh, let's say hurricane relief. Who's it going to anyway? I was talking to some people this weekend. And they said, well, you know, we want to get together and we want to get some money together for the victims of Hurricane Rita. I said, can you tell me exactly how that works? Because I wouldn't mind giving money. I just want to know, how does it get to the people that it's supposed to be getting to? You know? But, however, we're finding out that the situation, Hurricane Rita especially, is nowhere near as it was with Hurricane Katrina. But I just, frankly, not sure exactly how, you know, I guess what I ought to do is buy a truck, fill it full of food, and drive it there myself, and then just hand it out as I drive around town. But they won't even let you in. I remember Hurricane Andrew, we had a truck right outside the radio station I was working at. We loaded that thing up with all kinds of goodies. I went in and stole half of it. But still, you know, that's the other thing. A lot of these guys go in there and they steal the stuff. In other words, hey, let's raise some money and get some food together for the folks down in Hurricane, whatever the hell. Okay. And then they get it in the truck, and like the cat who's supposed to be driving it or the people supposed to be loading it, they pocket half of it. One time I had a friend of mine, she wanted to donate stuff for a battered woman shelter. So she goes down to the place that administers the battered woman shelter, and she's got, oh, I don't know, she's got cookware and forks and knives, and the women working in the office go, oh, this is pretty good stuff. They wanted to take it home themselves. Charity, I'm telling you, what a racket, man. Total racket. When somebody says to you that we're raising money or we have a charity, we got a not-for-profit, you really got to look into it. Because like I was saying to somebody, I forget who, someone that, well, it wasn't you, bud, because it was someone who actually was comprehending what I was saying. You know, 10%, is it just 10% of the money needs to go to the charity? In other words, if you're a non-profit, you only have to give 10% of that to the charity. The other 90%, you can pay out in salaries, you can do whatever it is that you're allowed to do under the charter of a nonprofit, but it ain't going to the charity. It's not going to the people you're raising the bread for. So, you know. All right, I want to take a look at some of the email and some stories here. We also are going to tell you that we've got kind of an interesting item that's going to be in our souvenir shop pretty soon. We got a Bobby Dooley t-shirt coming out. Now, if you want to get a good idea as to what that looks like, if you go to our webpage and go into the PhilCam section, you'll see a picture of me with four staff members here from our radio network. One of them on the far left is Michelle, our producer, and then there's three other beautiful women, and they're in these pink t-shirts, and those are kind of the Bobby Dooley t-shirts that we're going to be selling on our website. So, I don't know, if you're into that, be a beautiful thing. I got emailed this. We made number 10 in a radio poll of the best radio personalities in L.A. You know what, man? I just don't care. I wish they wouldn't send me this stuff. Let me see who made number one. Ryan Seacrest was number 7. Big Boy was number 6. Number 5 was Bill Handel. Number 4, John and Ken. Number 3 was Vin Scully. Okay. Huh? Number two is Howard Stern, and the number one radio personality in two radio personalities in L.A., Kevin and Bean. All right. So that is the latest radio poll that's out. Vin Scully. I mean, I like Vin, but how did he get up to number 3? Nobody even listens to the Dodger games anymore. Maybe it's because they think he's going to die. Do you think it's, hey, Vin, if I were you, man, I wouldn't be around any of these people that voted for you. I think it's like tribute. Thinking you're going to croak pretty soon. Rita Wild was number 3 off-air personality. She's a great program director over at KLOS. I like the, you know, I just happen to like her. Jim was number something or other, 3 or 2 or 6. He was number 8. And number 7 on-air is a bunch of Ryan Seacrest, Val Mackey. I'm not sure how this is done, but I think they poll radio professionals. And then they decide who's groovy. Anyway, somebody sent that to me, and I recognized right away that I'm kind of slipping down that thing. I was number 1 once, and now I'm like to number 5 and number 7. That's why television hasn't come along a minute too soon. Let me tell you what. All right, we'll take a look now at some of the email that we've received here. I think we have some email, don't we? Here on the Phil Hendry Show over the last few days. This is one from Sam, it says, I cannot figure out if this is Cindy Sheehan or David Spade. What do you think? I think it's David Spade. It's a picture of somebody with a peace symbol on her T-shirt. I think it would be David Spade if he had breasts. Get out of here. Hey, Phil, how about a homepage form link for fans like me to use to send a friend's 6-month or 1-year gift subscription to be a Backstage Pass member? Could even offer an extra free month for anyone who buys a second or third subscription this way. Cheers, mate, for the laughs, and more comb over, please. Paul. I don't know. And then we have this one. I don't know about gifts or, you know, anything for free. Hey, what is the RC Listens to Phil banner for? I'm curious because RC is my favorite character, and I didn't know if it was something special or some artwork to go along with the new RC blog, Kyle in Atlanta. If you go to our website, we have an RC banner on his blog, and then below it is the same banner with my face superimposed. Actually, we took that from an old Nazi Reich poster. It's that little boy. Behind him is Hitler. And I liked it so much that I had Hitler's face photoshopped out and mine photoshopped in. And instead of, you know, ein Reich, ein Führer, ein Volk, I put just listen to Phil 7 to 10. So I'm glad you like it. Oh boy, I know it's not a real guest, but I have one comment on your guest named Tony with the reality show to abduct kids in a mall. I carry a gun legally, and I keep a watchful eye on my kids. If someone tried to abduct one of my kids, they may end up getting shot. I love your show. I would love to see a webcast sometime and watch you do 3 or 4 voices arguing at the same time. You're very talented. Your faithful listener from Northern California, a guy by the name of, I don't know his name. It's unsigned. Maybe it's because he carries a gun. You know these guys that carry guns? Now, how many of them actually know what they're doing with a gun? And see, here's the deal. You know the people that say they'll shoot somebody? Anybody that says they'll shoot someone, would they actually shoot them? You know? And if a cat's carrying a gun and somebody picks his kid up and starts to run away with the kid and he's in a crowded mall and that guy starts blasting away, how many people die before your kid finally gets, you know, free? Or what if you shot your kid? I carry a gun legally. And Phil, I've heard so much recently regarding your fascination with Nazis. I swear I've seen that picture of RC. Oh, yeah, here it is. Another Hitler poster. Say it ain't so. The kid's a pain in the ass, but a Nazi? Commandant Wireman, sure, but RC? What happened to the blog? It was the best common sense commentary on the internet. I Googled it a few times. It was really picking up steam around the net. What gives? Thanks, Rob. I got rid of the blog because, frankly, I got rid of the blog because I don't want any more heat from Hollywood. I mean, I'm serious. I'm being very serious. I don't even want to smell any heat from those people. I don't want to have to get into arguments with other actors. I don't want to be in a green room with people getting upset. If anybody starts talking politics to me, I'm going to run and not hide. I just don't want to have... Now, you may say that that's gutless, but the point is, this is my major thing. This is what, my radio show, and if the TV show takes off, then we got the TV show, see? I'm going to sit there doing a political blog. I mean, what, am I crazy? And I don't want to have anybody over there, you know, I don't want to be blackballed. I mean, I'm sure I do not want any kind of a blackball on me. And I'm not saying NBC would do that, but I don't know about individual producers. And in just individuals, I just don't know about them. And I know for a fact that there's a certain way to think when you're in that world. And if you don't think that way, you just ought to keep your mouth shut. So I got rid of the blog for that reason. And in the end, because it's not really what I do anyway, what I'm basically is a comic, a satirist, a radio entertainer. So it's not like that's my, I guess, my main way of communicating. The other thing is it was really difficult to do. I was constantly having to, you know, check on the comments section and make sure that I was, you know, posting something new and having to think of something. And it just got to be too much work for a guy who spends most of his time talking to himself in funny voices. So I don't know. But again, I'm telling you the honest truth. I'm not lying to you. And I don't mean anything bad by this. I don't want to get anybody hot at me, and I don't want to get anyone upset with me. And I'm just telling you, I don't want any kind of a blackball situation where somebody knows what my politics are and they start to get, because the people that oppose my viewpoint, they're more Nazi than anybody that I know about who thinks the way I do. They are more repressive and judgmental and mean. And without any argument other than just to characterize people as stupid and fascist and everything else, I don't want to have to get into it, man. I can't argue with like 9 stupid people at once. One is enough. If you get into a green room with about 6 or 7 actors in there and you have to argue with 7 idiots, I don't even want to do it. I'll get up and leave. So to keep the heat off of me so that I can make a living for my wife, my children, and yes, keep myself in chocolate pudding, if you really want to know. I just gave it up. Thank you for asking. And we'll be keeping you updated on how my career progresses straight into the toilet. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I heard from Coach Jags, our good friend Jagosinski down there in Atlanta. He's the offensive line coach for the Atlanta Falcons. And now, as the offensive line coach, it is his job to coach the offensive line. Now, one of the ways that he motivates the players, the all 11 offensive linemen that they have, both the starters and the guys that are in reserve, or second string or third string, or however you want to look at it, he tells them, if we have a 200-plus yard rushing game, that is, we're able to total rushing yards, 200 yards plus, and no sacks, I buy steak dinner for everybody. So how many games have there been, Mark, in the season? 3? 3 games? 3 steak dinners. Now, do you know what that comes to for 11 offensive linemen, including tight ends, everybody? It must be in the thousands. Must be in the millions. And in Atlanta? In Atlanta, they got some of the greatest steakhouses. You'd weep. You'd drop to one knee and weep for the Madonna. Oh, my God. Just Bones. Just go to Bones alone there on West Paces Ferry. Holy God. It's your kind of joint, Harry. Cigars. The maitre d' is actually in a tux with the thing over the arm.
Yes, may I seat you near the piano ball this evening?
You go in. It's got all the pictures of the local celebrities, all of, you know, the leather booth. And they sit you down to the greatest freaking steak dinner you ever had in your life. There's a bunch of great places. So anyway, Jag says that they it's been 3 games, and I think Atlanta's 2-1. I think they lost one of their games. I know they won the Monday night game, and they beat Buffalo yesterday. I forget what else. So 200, and you know what? When you got Michael Vick as a quarterback, and you're going to have a 200-yard-plus rushing game.
What do you mean a rushing game?
Rushing, not Russian.
What does that mean?
Running.
Why don't you call it running?
I don't call it anything, man. It's called rushing.
But why don't they call it running? What do you mean rushing? It's like you're a stream. We had a really good day yesterday. The Mississippi River rushed for like 3 miles.
Oh, shut up, man. That's what they've called it. That's what they'll always call it. Rushing, as in running. So that, and then, so the Falcons are doing real good, and we're going to go down there and watch a ball game. Meanwhile, Jay Fiedler's hurt for the Dolphins, and Chad Pennington, he's out for another season. Yes! Good Lord, dude. What? Fiedler's on the Jets? Who's playing for the Falcons? For the, what are they called down in Miami? I forget. The Dolphins. Who's their quarterback? I forget. Look, and I don't follow football because I'm too busy playing Madden 2005. I don't even know. Even if 6 is out, man, I ain't playing it yet. I'm still trying to figure out 2005. So Pennington is out for another year in New York. Now, how many times is that? That's the second full season that guy's out. Hey, Edwards, I think the Pennington experiment is over. Over and done with. If I were you, I'd be making a deal across the street there, man. Try to get Manning or what? They're like quarterback fat over there. Or somebody. Forget about Chad Pennington. You know what's going to happen? He'll dump Pennington like Plunkett was dumped all those years ago. Pennington will show up at the age of like 36 with some team and win 3 Super Bowls. That'd be beautiful. I was trying to think of the other thing, kind of an interesting exercise, as we just discussed a little bit of football from yesterday, or just football in general. You remember that what I call the, concussion boys? Because I was wondering, who does Atlanta have if Michael Vick goes down? And it can't be Chris Chandler, can it? But Chris Chandler used to get nailed. Remember all the concussions Chandler had? And they told him, please don't play anymore. And he's still playing. Do you remember Stan Humphries with the San Diego Chargers? I remember seeing him get up from a hit. And his eyes were like doll's eyes. They were just all, ee-hoo, ee-hoo. You know, in other words, like in the cartoons where the birds are spinning around the head. That was Humphreys. I could have sworn I saw them. All you need is like, remember when Steve Young was getting like 5 or 6 a year and they finally said, look, are you nuts? What do you want to do, man? Do you want to be sitting in the corner going, is that what you want?
Well, I don't know. Football's my life. I've always enjoyed it and everything.
Yeah, I know. And listen, you're sounding dumber. You graduated from BYU, man. How much is 2 plus 2?
I don't know. I just, yeah.
Time for you to go, man. Go, man, go. All right, Ted Bell coming up. Next hour on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm just going over the Falcon. All of a sudden, I've got this whole thing about who are the guys that have had the concussion. No, I'm looking at the Falcon roster. What, do they only have one quarterback? That's impossible. Matt Schaub. And the guy in Miami is A.J. Feely. And he's I like A.J. Feely. The last time I saw him play, I liked him. Who knows? I wouldn't want to be in Miami right now. I mean, watching football games, that is. Texas in pretty good shape after Hurricane Rita. New Orleans still flooded. Areas surrounding the city destroyed. According to the news, Texas apparently prepared well. And, of course, they didn't have the full brunt of the Hurricane 5 like New Orleans had. People who fled coastal towns in Texas and Louisiana in preparation for Hurricane Rita were returning to their homes Monday as some New Orleans residents were told to come back and help rebuild those parts of the Crescent City that weren't underwater. So apparently that was kind of a good piece of news. What, bud?
You still want to have a bunker complex?
No, man, I don't want to have an underground shelter, if that's what you're saying, because it'd get flooded.
Good boy.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.